This is message 9 of the Bangkok Conference, October 2015. Verses are Exodus chapter 23, verse 14 through 17, Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse 5 to 7, and Colossians chapter 2, verse 15 to 17. Lord, do bless our fellowship this evening. We really need your Holy Spirit to anoint each one of us. And also to move in us and among us in order to accomplish your work. Please do open our eyes so that all the saints can see and understand and also be able to practice it. May the Lord be gracious to us. Amen. This evening, we're going to fellowship concerning the feasts. Up until this point, we have fellowship concerning 3 points. The first point is concerning Jerusalem, the place of God's choice. This is very important. Without Jerusalem, God has no dwelling place. There's no temple. And also, there's no kingdom. Because Jerusalem is the city of the great king. Do not look down on Jerusalem. God wants to be king in Jerusalem and to reign. If you remove Jerusalem from the Old Testament age, then there's nothing left. The nation of Israel is also over with. There's nothing left. That is why, up until today, the Jews still treasure Jerusalem very much. Because they know that Jerusalem is what God has chosen. This is too important. It cannot be without it. Besides, the enemy wants to destroy Jerusalem. And we also saw that today, the New Testament Jerusalem is heavenly, it's spiritual, and it is the church today. We cannot say that we are the church, yet we are not in spirit. If we're not in the spirit, what are we? It's only when we're living in the Spirit, then we have access to the heavens. When we're in the Spirit, we can then sit with Christ together in the heavens. Besides, everything that is heavenly could also come into us through the Spirit. So the Spirit is very important. We enter through the Spirit. Our being born again is in the Spirit. Galatians said, we also began in the Spirit. It's unfortunate. The saints in Galatia, they began in the Spirit, but after a while, they want to finish their work in the flesh. That's not good. We have to begin in the Spirit, and we also have to go forward in Spirit. And we also want to reach the goal in spirit. From the beginning to the end, we have to be in spirit. Do not fall into the flesh. That is why today our spiritual battle is a battle with the flesh. Galatians chapter 5 tells us, our spirit is contrary to our flesh. They contradict each other. And the flesh also lusts against the spirit. So it all depends whether we people want to live in the spirit or we want to live in the flesh. Now, how do you want to live? Today, I don't live in the spirit. Then I can only live in the flesh. In order to live in the spirit, then you have to crucify your flesh. If you want to live in the flesh, you destroy the temple of God. That's why you cannot be part-time living in the flesh and part-time living in the spirit. That doesn't work. That does not work. We begin in spirit. And through our spirit and through the Holy Spirit, we want to reach the goal. Normal Christians should be a spiritual person. It's very important. Romans chapter 8 also tells us, if you live in the flesh, then you cannot please God. And you also become an enemy of God. You will not submit to the law of God. But Paul said, you are not of the flesh. And you should not live in the flesh, because the Spirit of Jesus Christ dwells in us now. Since the Spirit of Jesus Christ indwells us, why should you be living in the flesh? Do not live in the flesh. We all need to exercise and to learn to live in spirit and to walk by the Spirit. Yes. So that the Holy Spirit can lead us daily. It's only in this way that we will have the heavenly Jerusalem. But if it's in the flesh, in the self, then Jerusalem disappears. So, brothers and sisters, the first point is Jerusalem. This is very important. Besides, the Jerusalem today is in the spirit. The building of God's temple is also in the spirit. Our living, our walk is also in spirit. And we also fight the battle in spirit. No matter what we do, we do it through and by the Spirit. This is point number one. Jerusalem. Now, what do we do in Jerusalem? We have to come worship the Father. How do we worship? We cannot come empty-handed. You have to bring offerings. So we all need to prepare offerings. The offerings are prepared by us. the offering that God wants has to grow out of you. Although the Lord Jesus was given to us by God, He died for us, that is right. But He wants us to experience what Christ is and everything that Christ accomplished in our spirit. Now, what grows from within us through our experience? Then you bring your very best experience to the Father. This is what is considered as an offering. So offerings are very important. Now the Bible shows us the Israelites had to labor on the good land. They had to plant in the good land, and then the fruits that came out of the good land are the offerings. Besides, they had to be the first fruits. Besides, they had to be the best part of the first fruits. God said, "That is mine, not yours. You have to bring it to me." God even commanded them, "You cannot come empty-handed." I think I had mentioned it last year. You do remember the parable of the talents in the Gospel of Matthew? Do you remember that? One had how many talents? 5 talents. And the other? 2. And the third had 1. And when the Lord came, the one with the 5 talents, did he return the 5 talents to the Lord? Did he? No. What did he say? "Lord, look, you gave me 5, and I also earned another 5. Then the Lord said, "Good and faithful servant." The Lord was very happy because he earned it. And the one with the 2 talents, the same. He also earned 2 talents, and the Lord also said, "Very good. You are faithful in a small matter. Good. Enter in and you can rule over 2 cities." Right? How about the one with the 1 talent? He looked down on the 1 talent. So he dug a hole. And he buried the 1 talent. And when the Lord came, he dug it out again. "Lord, look, I return this to you." Did the Lord accept that? What did the Lord say? "You evil and lazy servant." Take his 1 talent away and give it to the one with 5 talents. And what do we do with him? Tie him up and throw him into the darkness. Right? This means the portion that God gave to you you cannot return it in the same packaging back to him. Right? If at my birthday, you give me a present, it's a beautiful present, and the packaging is quite nice. I didn't even open the package. I just kept it. And then at your birthday, and I return this present to you. Would you like it? Would you? Amazing. You would be scolding me. Do you despise me? Isn't that right? Now, the price that God gave you, you didn't do anything with it. You did not labor, did not work on it. To allow the Lord in you to grow many fruits out. And you return it in the same packaging back to Him. That does not work. This is what the offerings is about. God gave you a piece of good land. The first year you do not need to do anything because you have not had an opportunity to work on the land. But you have to begin to work on the land. And the second year, the third year, you have to gather the first fruits and bring them. That is why we all need to remember this principle. Many times we say, oh Lord, we praise you because you died for us. It's good. The Lord Jesus died for you 2,000 years ago. But you're praising Him for the death that He died for you 2,000 years ago. That's good, but then you're always praising Him each week for the death 2,000 years ago that He suffered for you. Yet you do not experience His death. You are still very much alive. You are still you. Without the experience of His cross, you're still living in the flesh. Then the Lord Jesus will say, I died for you in vain. Why did I died for you 2,000 years ago, and yet your flesh is so much alive still? What do you have to say? We would have nothing to say. Oh Lord, thank you. You are my life. It's good. You have His life. But what do you do with it? Thank you for giving me your life. When you come back, I'm going to return this life to you. Without any growth, without any transformation. Totally useless. Are you going to return it back to Him in the original packaging? The Lord Jesus would then ask you, what did you do with the life that I gave you? You say, Lord, I dug a hole and I buried it. The Lord would say, oh, you're so faithful. At least it's good you didn't lose it. What the Lord wants, what the Father wants, is for you to go labor, work on it, bear fruit, and do His glorious work within you. He has a very wonderful purpose. He gave us His life, salvation, etc., etc., for the purpose of accomplishing His plan. And we are very happy. Hallelujah, we're saved. And we just bury salvation right there, and we don't touch it. In the end, your life, your living, although you're saved, it's as if you were not saved at all. Tell me, would that be good? If you give me a trumpet, oh, it's very good. Oh, it's even a silver one. Very expensive. It's not cheap. Made in Germany. I don't go learn to blow it. I don't know what I'd do with this trumpet. I put it in the drawer, put it away. Five years ago you came. And then 5 years later, He came back. And He gave it to me 5 years ago. Then why did you give it to me? Why? Because you're hoping that 5 years ago I could go do-do-do-do. But after 5 years you came back and I never touched it. And the silver is already a bit tarnished. When He comes, I return it to Him. Tell me, would that be good? The Lord Jesus gave you your salvation. It's living. And it's there to save you daily. Besides, the book of Hebrews says, it'll save you to the uttermost. But you didn't use it. That salvation did not mature and did not grow. Tell me, would the Lord be happy? Would the Father be happy? No. No. When you were saved a long time ago, you were like this. 10 years ago, you're still like this. And 20 years later, you're still the same. And 70 years later, you're even much worse. Then tell me, when the Lord comes to look you up, well, is there a problem with my salvation? How come I gave you this eternal, wonderful salvation and it has no effect in you? That's why you need to pay close attention. The offerings are there for us to become such a person like the Lord Jesus Christ, that we would become a person who lives for the will of God. It's not that I'm for myself every day, for my own benefit. If I like it, I do it. If I don't like it, I don't do it. It's for me to experience the humanity of Christ so that I can be conformed to the glorious image of the Lord Jesus Christ, so that I could be made into a person who is fully reconciled with God, so that I can fully overcome darkness and death and sin, so that I can become holy and without blemish. That is why you need these offerings. But if I don't care, and I would even say, why should I need these offerings? It sounds reasonable. It's not needed. I heard many people say that. It's as long as God knows it, it's good enough. Of course God knows it. The problem is you don't know it. It's not a matter of whether God knows it or not, but you don't know it. Now, if you don't know it, how are you going to experience it? How are you going to work on it? You do not know what God wants. Then what are you going to bring to Him? Oh, anything will do. As long as it is Christ, it's okay. If you're like this, you are without a goal. You're aimless. You don't know what God wants. And you don't care what God wants. I repeat, the question is not whether He knows or not, but the question is, do I know it or not? Because if I don't know it, what am I going to bring to Him? I want to invite you to a meal. Of course, He knows what He likes to eat. But I don't want to know. And I don't want to ask Him either. I like to eat spicy stuff. Spicy food like Thai food. But I never ask Him, do you like spicy food? And I make very spicy, very hot food. And I invite Him. I like to eat durian. But I did not ask Him whether He liked it or not. And I had a lot of durian there. And I invited Him to come eat. He came. Would He eat? It's because I had never asked Him, oh, Brother Chu, what would you like to eat? Do you like to eat durian? He doesn't. Do you like to eat langon? Langon. He doesn't like that either. Mangoes? Oh, yes. Fine. Now I know what He likes to eat. Then I prepare mangoes. Does He like chicken? Yes. You like it steamed or fried or deep fried? Oh, you like to eat Hainanese chicken rice. So I'll make this Hainanese chicken rice for Him. I need to know. It's not that it's enough He knows, because I wouldn't know what to prepare for Him to eat. That's why the question is not whether I know. God might know, but I don't know. If I do not know what the will of God is, how could I be doing His will? I'll just do something in the hope that He would like it. Then what if He does not like it? We really don't understand why we think like this. God already told us, I want these things, but you say, that's of the Old Testament. What should you do? We fallen people, the self has this problem. I say it again, we are presumptuous. Do not think that whatever I like is what God likes. There are lots of things that I like that He does not like. And besides, what He likes, most of it I don't like. Oh, Lord Jesus. I'm saying this out of my heart. Do not think that I'm talking nonsense. Oh, I've heard too much. What can I say? What can I do? That's why you need to know what offerings you need to bring to Jerusalem. Do not think that God is very polite or very courteous. The Lord God is not that courteous. And the Lord Jesus was not that polite. If you dug out the one talent, He said, you evil and lazy servant. That's why the offerings are very important. Then you have to ask, when should the offerings be brought? Now the third question comes around. If I like it, I bring it. If I don't like it, I don't bring anything. Can it be like this? No. The place, the location is His choice. The offerings are what He wants, and the time is also appointed by Him. Then what are you going to do? You said, I can bring it any time I want. If I want to bring it, I bring it along. Do not be like that. The Lord told them three times a year. You say, how come just three times? I go up there every month. I go there January, February, March, and April. Isn't it the longer the better? The more often the better? No. Of course, six times is better than three times, right? No? Then you have to tell me why it's not right. Because it's He who appoints it. Why did He set the dates like that? Because what God wants to get are the first fruits. In the good land, there are only three harvests a year. In December, it's icy cold. What fruits would grow up? Even the unripe fruits would not be there. So in December, what kind of fruits are you going to bring? And what are you going to bring in January? the first harvest is the harvest of the wheat. It's exactly on the day of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. That's the ripening of the first fruits. You cannot get there any earlier because you would not have harvested any first fruits. So you have to bring it at the time of the Passover, the Feast of Unleavened Bread, and also the Feast of the First Fruits. Because all these three feasts are joined together. It's all within 3 days. This is what God ordained. Do not think that the feasts have nothing to do with the bringing of offerings to Jerusalem. They're very much interrelated. There are 4 seasons a year, right? There's spring, there's summer, there's fall, and there's also the winter. Right? The spring, summer, autumn, winter. Who determined that? God did. Then why are the feasts at the time of harvests? Who set the dates for the harvests, for the feasts? Are you any wiser than God? You can't be any wiser than God. That is why the second harvest in the good land was at the time of the Pentecost. It's a time when the barley grows and ripens. If it's not at this time, where are you going to get the first fruits? You say, oh, I don't have any barley. I'll just cut some grass and bring it along. Are you going to bring the grass along to feed the horses and the cows? You say, if that doesn't work, oh, I'll cut a few beautiful flowers and bring with me. Would that be good? They're beautiful flowers. Does God want the flowers? He doesn't want the flowers. That's why you must learn to do things according to God's word. Why don't you want to do things according to God's word? Is God's word not good enough? Are you wiser than He is? Really not? If that's really so, then you have to do things according to what He has ordained. Do not keep asking, why? Why? My little grandson, the granddaughter, the little one would always ask, why? 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 Each time I tell her to do something, she would ask, why? She loves to say, why? That's because she didn't want to do it. We are like that also. God says you have to do this. Why? Why? How come? How come? Does it have to be like this? Is there no other way? How? Why can't I come every day to bring my offerings? Why does it have to be in Jerusalem? The nation of Israel is so big. How come I cannot bring my offerings and offer it up at my house in my kitchen? Why? 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 Or should I say, there's no why, there's no reason. It's what he wants. Isn't that enough? Do not ask why. He says it, and I go do it. I do not need to be so smart. I do not need to know why, and why. Let me tell you. Even if God were to explain it to you, I don't think you would understand it either. If you explain it to my little granddaughter, she still would not submit. Do you understand? Why? That's why in the end, she says, why? Then I say, because. That's it. Why? Because. I don't explain anymore. Even if I explain, she wouldn't understand. I'm wasting my saliva. I keep explaining and explaining. It's useless. That's why if she asks why, now I just say because. Very simple. I want to be a person who is submissive to God. He says 3 times a year, I just do accordingly. Now, in this year, it's 3 times. The first one is 3 feasts. The second time is 50 days later. It's the Feast of Pentecost, the ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ, his enthronement. And he poured out the Holy Spirit. And the church was brought forth. If the Lord Jesus were to ask the Father, why? Why should I wait for 50 days? Oh, I resurrected. Hallelujah. I have become the spirit that gives life. I would start blowing, breathing. I would just pour out the Holy Spirit. Why should I wait for 50 days? Right? Did the Lord Jesus say this? Why? Do not ask why. If you ask too many questions, it is not necessary. There's no need. We, fallen men, are disobedient and we have lots of opinions. Now the last harvest is around our September. That harvest is for the vine and for the olive oil and the other grains Kuli. And the other grains. As to the rest, like the wine, the oil, you have to bring 1/10 of it. That's why you see, if there were no harvest, where would you get the oil and the wine to bring with you? That's why, brothers and sisters, hear and obey God's word well. This evening, I'd like to tell you, in Colossians, Paul said, all these feasts in the Bible, the Sabbath, etc., they are all types because they are just shadows. They are not the substance itself. But do not forget, it is totally according to the pattern in heaven. Christ is the actual substance, reality of these feasts. I have mentioned it before. If God were up here, up there, and we, the church, that's us. We are down here. He's up there, and we're down here. Now, the feasts are what the Lord Jesus, what God has prepared through Jesus Christ for us to enjoy. That is why when the Lord Jesus came the first time, he fulfilled all the feasts that were types of him. These are the feasts. And how about the offerings? We're down here. After experiencing Christ, then we bring these experiences as offerings to offer up to God. Through Jesus Christ, who became our feast to meet our need. And through the experiences, we prepare the offerings to become God's food, to satisfy his need. On one hand, it's keeping the feasts. And on the other hand, it's offering, bringing the offerings. So you keep the feasts and you bring the offerings. Is that good? You say that's not good? We just want something to come down from heaven and it keeps coming down. But nothing goes up from us. It only comes down and it doesn't go up. Is that good? Tell me. You tell me. Is that good? You just want to be satisfied. You want to be happy. You enjoy it. It's I, me, and myself. Yet you don't care for him. From our side, there's nothing that comes out of us to be offered up to him. That is what is well-pleasing to him, and that is what he demands of us. If we do not do this, the feasts come down from up there and the offerings go from down here to go up there. If he is not satisfied, would you be satisfied? In the end, God will close the windows of heaven. He doesn't want to give you anything further. Why should he give you anything? You don't even care for him. That is why in Malachi, God said, if you bring me my offerings, I would open the windows of heaven and pour out such blessings for you. That's why, without the offerings, you just have meetings and meetings and meetings until you're dead. Lifeless. No supply. Dry and bitter. And you sit there and you fall asleep. Because God has not been satisfied. You just care for yourself. In Jerusalem, the people that came back from Babylon, because of many difficulties, they stopped the building. They started to build their own houses. They worked hard, they harvested, and whatever they brought back, God blew upon it, blew it away. You worked so hard and you brought it home and I blew it away. You think you made some money? But you've got a big hole in your pocket. You put it in from the top and it goes, drops out from the bottom. You think that God would say, it's okay as long as you are satisfied, it's okay. Do not forget that He is God. It's not He for me, but I have to be for Him. Have you not read Colossians? Everything was created in Him, and it was also created through Him. It's all created for us, right? Why is it wrong? You kept saying, it's all for me, right? You kept saying, Christ for me, Christ for me. Everything is for me. He died for me, and the life is also for me, and the blessings are for me. Everything is for me. Isn't that the case? Is this what Colossians says? No. Everything was created for Him. Ephesians chapter 1 also says it. Everything was is done for His good pleasure. Do not think that you are so important. Are you very important? Are you more important than God? Is He there to satisfy us, or are we there to satisfy Him? You think about it. If you do not understand in this way what God wants, even if I explain to you what all these feasts are, it's useless because in your concept, it's all for me. We surely have needs. But all our needs have been met through Jesus Christ, who became all these feasts to us. So now we need to take care of God's need. But nobody cares for his need. So people also ask, not just one time, but many times people ask. I heard it many times. Why do the offerings have to be brought on the Lord's Day? Why? Why does it have to be at the Lord's table? Why? Again, it's a why. Why? Because in the New Testament, the Lord's table meeting represents everything that our Lord Jesus Christ has accomplished, and it is expressed here through the bread and the cup. Tell me, who is the Passover? Who is the Passover lamb? Christ? Where? In the Old Testament? It's not in the New Testament? If it's not there in the New Testament, then you don't have... Oh, it's in 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Jesus Christ, our Passover lamb, has been slain. I heard a theologian say, that is not referring to the Passover in the book of Exodus. Now, how many Passovers are there? If it's not referring to that one, which one is it referring to? If you say, you don't know. If you don't know, how do you know that that is not it? If you say that is not it, then you should know what is, right? If you say, that's not it, please tell me, what is it? Then you say you don't know. It's strange. If you don't know, how do you know that that's not it? Brothers and sisters, I do not like to argue with people. So oftentimes I'm debating with myself. If I would be debating with you, you might kill me. And Paul said, let's keep the feast, not with the old leaven, because we are an unleavened lump. We're a new lump. That's why we have to purge out all the leaven. Oh, what kind of a feast is that? That's a feast of purging out the leaven. How do you know that? Oh, that is clearly mentioned in the book of Leviticus. Isn't that right? We did not read Leviticus chapter 23 today. It's too long. He told me. He said, it's verses 1 through verse 40, verse 1 to 44. It's too long. He says, okay, let them read for themselves at home. If it's not the Feast of Unleavened Bread, what feast is that? Is it a different feast? What kind of bread did you eat today? Is it unleavened bread? Is it made in your kitchen? Or is it the bread from heaven? Is it made here or is it made in heaven? It all depends whether you're in the spirit or whether you're in the flesh. If you eat in spirit, you're eating the unleavened bread that came down from heaven. Once you eat it, you have to get rid of the leaven. You cannot eat unleavened bread, and yet you keep the leaven within you. This is contradictory. It's not possible. Now we come here to keep what feast? Tell me. This table only shows that the Lord Jesus died. Hallelujah. Thank you. That kind of an enjoyment of yours is very poor. You ate the Passover lamb, and you still want to remain in Egypt? You really don't want to? What is Egypt? It's the world? Is it only the world? Did you not read John say, do not love the world? The Passover lamb was slain, and the blood was shed, and God will not no longer judge you, and the firstborn sons are saved. Yet you remain in Egypt. Is that okay? Now, when you come to keep this feast, aren't you here to keep the Exodus, the Passover lamb, to get out of Egypt? Otherwise, you come and eat of this bread, and you eat the lamb. He shed his blood. Thank the Lord. You won't be judged anymore. You can go love the world now. Amen. Nobody says amen. Now, what feast are we keeping here? It's a group of people who love the world that come to keep the feast. Is that good? How come nobody said, thank and praise you, Lord, you saved me out of Egypt? You cannot even utter the hallelujah out of you. Because you know that you still love Egypt. Now, if you want to get out of Egypt quickly, you have to eat the Passover lamb and eat the unleavened bread quickly. That's why I tell you, this Lord's table includes the reality of all the feasts. Now, since God commanded you 3 times a year for you to come to Jerusalem, to do what? To keep the feast. And in order to keep the feast, what do you have to bring? You have to bring the offerings. Isn't it very clear? Virasak, are you clear? Really? Do not ask why again. If you ask why again, I'm going to say, because. If you ask why, I say, because. And again he would ask, because of what? And I'll say, because. Now, if you do not bring offerings at the time you keep the feast to thank the Father, when are you going to bring your offerings? On top of that, we had this concept long time ago. From the time of the brethren assembly, it was there. After the Lord's table, you worship the Father. Except we didn't know how to worship Him. Our worship is to sing one or two hymns. And for the remembrance of the Lord, we sang, 50 hymns. We sing for an hour. And for the worship of the Father, 2 minutes. Two hymns. Right? Brother Wong, is that right? He's laughing over there. It's because we've been doing this all the time. If a brother or sister call a wrong hymn, then our faces will drop. Why would they call this hymn? Now is the time to worship the Father, and you still want to sing a hymn to praise the Lord? Don't think that I do not know. I've gone through this kind of experience. I know it. Lord Jesus, amen. This evening, it seems that everybody is smiling or happy. You know, just to be happy and happy. If you are joyful, then you can hear the Word of God and take it into you. Otherwise, it'll be very hard for you to receive the Word. Amen? Okay. I'm sorry. I went overtime. 10 minutes overtime.